Out here, if you're doing nothing, you're doing everything right. Though on a cruise with Norwegian, even if you're doing nothing, you're still basking in the warm sun, enjoying the peaceful ocean waves, you're breathing. Don't forget about breathing. Definitely need to be breathing. So you get to do nothing, or everything, but you still need to be breathing. It's like really important.
Experience the difference with cruises to Alaska, the Caribbean, and Europe. Norwegian Cruise Line. It's different out here. Visit ncl.com, call your travel advisor, or 1-888-NCL-CRUISE. Norwegian Cruise Line ships registry, the Bahamas and USA.
A Rayo Original Podcast.
Step into our confessional. Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. From Greatest Hits Radio, Simon Mayo's Confessions.
That's very true. Very warm welcome to the Confessions Podcast, brought to you by your friends at Greatest Hits Radio. And this very podcast, I've been told on good authority from all the people that I've bumped into as I've been walking to and from the studio, what with Industrial Action.
Oh, yes, of course.
Of course, yeah. I have to walk here and then I have to walk home again, and people cross the road when they see me coming.
Do they cross the road again, do they?
And some of them.
Get out of the way.
Yeah, towards some of them.
Not away.
Obviously away. An awful lot of them say how much they love this podcast, and if they had to rate their favourites, this would be in the top 60.
Top one.
In the top one, in fact, that's what they say.
60. That's not very good. That's you're number 60 in my top 60
podcast.
No,
podcasts. They love it.
Well, don't know. Apple do a top 200, don't they?
So, yeah, but that's the whole of Apple. That's not Bob up the road.
Well, Bob up the road, but he was the one who he ran away from me when he saw me coming.
Oh, really?
It's all the others that flock to me and say,
it's great.
Please tell we love your podcast.
So they sound a little bit odd. I would make sure you don't run into them again.
Well, they run away from you, Matt, when they see you coming.
Oh, absolutely, with that.
Anyway,
just storms.
Susie's in the pub, Matt's in the gutter, Sister Holly is back.
Yeah.
From her luxurious five-star cruise around the world. Coming up, we're going to be stopping at the parish notice board for all the latest notices and Matt's favourite five-star reviews that praise him.
Yes.
We'll also head to the not-for-broadcast section. It's very grubby this week. And all the confessions that featured on this week's programme, including Rebecca's VHS violation, step-by-step and heart-to-heart, Mr. Wilkins' micro-school memoir, We Don't Need No Education, and his confession, Smoke Gets in Your Eyes. But first, we start with the tale of a 9-year-old tech whiz who sabotages his priest dad's newsletter. It's James's email error. It's all too beautiful.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Today's confession comes from James. Thank you, James, for this tale. Father Simon and the Holy Collective, I'm writing to confess to a childhood act I undertook many years ago which put my father in bad stead amongst the community. The year is 2006 and my father was the local vicar in a popular village in Somerset. He certainly was the pillar of our community and he would organise lots of social fundraising events to raise money, raise awareness and draw people together. And this particular event was called A Party in the Park. An annual summer event where the local primary school, local businesses and up-and-coming bands would get together and have a bit of a knees-up in a large local park. People in their hundreds would flock to the event and raise money for local causes and village improvements. My father was a master at doing this and so therefore was well-respected and cherished. Back in those days, Father Simon's social media wasn't really around, so in order to advertise, my father had to send big communal emails around to his congregation and the wider community, lots of which were people of high standing and great wealth. As a 9-year-old child, I at times would help and assist where I could and was excited to be doing such a fun thing with him. But I still had a mischievous streak. And one evening he was busy typing away in his office while I was playing in my bedroom. He was suddenly called downstairs to deal with something that took an age and then had to pop out for a while. With that, I entered his office and began to have a fiddle around with his computer. He didn't lock the screen or apply passwords. Why would he need to in his own home? And he's a priest and everything. I then mischievously altered a few things here and there just for a bit of fun on his email draft. And suddenly, to my horror, I realized I had accidentally pressed send on the email link. And in a panic, I quickly shut the computer down and ran back to my room, hoping that what I had done never actually happened. or that maybe no one would notice. Well, the next morning, nothing was said, so I went to school as per usual, had a lovely day. However, when I came back home from school, I was greeted by a very cross and confused-looking father. "What's the matter?" I said. He looked at me, grimaced, and beckoned, so that I had to follow him upstairs to his study. "Excuse me. Do you know anything about this email?" He's a priest, and that's
yeah,
weird.
Yeah, that is very good. Yeah.
He questioned me with a stern face. He showed me a few choice emails which he had received in response to his big communal email that had gone out, sent to 100 local people, bands, entertainers, business owners, parents, teachers of the school, the mayor, and the Wurzels.
The Wurzels?
The Wurzels had received this as well.
Yes.
And what had been sent? Well, even at 9 years old, unbeknownst to my father, I was a bit of a whiz with computers. I was in particular a fan of the find and replace button.
Oh, no.
And my mischievous streak had made me replace the word party and replace it with the word poo. Harmless and funny, I thought. However, the word party had been written a whopping 17 times in the email, which meant the word poo had replaced it 17
Brilliant.
Times. So the email had been sent, not an invitation to a party in the park, but a poo in the park. Sentences would change from, "We'd love you to attend a great summer party," to, "We would love you to attend a great summer poo."
Wow.
Yeah.
And phrases like, "Who doesn't like a lovely poo in the glorious sunshine? It's going to be the best poo of the year."
It is. Oh, yes.
Even the opening tagline was, "It's poo time." Well, inside my stomach was in knots, full of laughter, but I daren't let it out, obviously, and I pleaded ignorance and denied all knowledge of such antics. The only thing I could manage to say was, "Oh, Dad, you and computers, what did you press?" Well, he'd never been so embarrassed. Not only had he sent this rude email to the whole community and the Wurzels, but he was led to believe it was down to his incompetence on the computer. Anyway, an email checked and double-checked and triple-checked by my mother was resent out to all parties involved with a little grovelling explanation to ignore any previous correspondence. A few months later, the party in the park happened. It was a huge success. Of course, my father got a few jibes and smirks from local folk, and he took a bit of banter around the lines of, "Hey, Reverend, what a fantastic poo you've organised. Got to say, Father, one of your best summer poos." And so on and so on. My father, to this day, some 20 years on, never realised that it was me, his naughty 9-year-old, mucking around with his computer and causing embarrassment forevermore. I do feel now that I need to confess. So my fate, if you get it, is over
fate.
To you.
Oh, fate. Fate. Oh, right. Fate. Yeah, fate.
With an E.
Of
and
course.
An umlaut over the E.
A circumflex,
circumflex, that's right.
Yeah,
sorry about the wrong accent. Obviously, you need to get the accent right.
Yes.
Anyway, it's a good old lark, you have to say. What do you make of that then, Suze?
James, I find this really, really funny. And you were only 9, so part of me just wants to say, oh, I forgive you, because what a funny confession. But, you know, you could have come clean to your dad. He's a priest and everything.
Years, 20 years.
So long, such a long time. And, you know, I hope he's listening, and I hope you go and apologise to him now anyway. But just for the laughs, the best poo in the summer, I'm just going to forgive.
Yes. Who doesn't like a lovely poo in the glorious sunshine?
The sunshine.
Outside.
It's from a priest, so it's okay, brother.
Yes. Well, I'm definitely going to forgive because, yeah, it was all a bit of fun. It absolutely guaranteed, if anyone gets an email that says, "Please ignore my previous email," everyone's clicking on the previous email. Ooh, there'll be good stuff in this. And it turns out there was plenty of poo, which was great news for everyone. So I'm going to forgive. It wasn't incompetent. You don't just type poo that many times, do you? You type party and it is changed to poo, which is how a lot of parties do turn out. So for that reason, I'm going to forgive, yes.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
What sort of parties do you go to?
With ones involving poo? I don't know.
No.
Wait, well, but that kind of party is what I was referring to.
Really?
Is what he was saying with the old, with the thing in the park. That's what it was.
I'm not quite sure what's going on there.
We've all been to those kind of parties, and they're all in the park.
No, that's what
I was talking about.
Either you've been to a party where someone
there was a poo.
Has pooed, or you are the party pooper.
I am the party poo.
This is
a very
surreal. I felt like I ran out of batteries after that sentence.
Anyway, there was complete forgiveness for James on the people's verdict, including this one, which proves just how much of a service we actually provide.
I definitely forgive, says Brian. I've been stuck in a traffic jam for 40 minutes and was feeling really fed up, but the poo confession made me laugh out loud.
There you go. It's one to cherish.
It is, it's, you know.
It certainly is. Let's turn to the parish notice board then, and let's see how many very strange voices Matt goes through.
Yeah.
Basically, he's just got a script, but instead of reading it in his own voice, he'll put on various strange affected voices.
It's such a range he's got. And we've got a 5-star reviews coming our way. 5 stars, says Shell Sly, maybe. Dog walks, 5 stars, at least 5 stars. All for Matt, of course.
He is spot on
with his opinions about dog walks. I spend at least 3 hours a day walking in the Lancashire Pennines with my border collie, who I can't name for obvious reasons.
What?
The health benefits of exercise and chuckling along to Matt, Susie and Holly, and of course Simon, the figurehead, are priceless. Please keep this going for eternity.
I'm confused.
Yes, because she goes for a long dog walk just because she wants to go for a long dog walk.
She's going on this long dog walk in the Pennines.
Pennines
with her border collie.
Yes.
So it's not actually a dog walk?
Yeah, no, she's taking a dog. It's a border collie in the Lancashire Pennines. That's what she's saying.
I don't think I know what your opinions are. Matt is spot on with his opinions. No, if she's saying you're spot on and your opinion was that when people go on a long dog walk,
they're up to no good.
I think we're trying to read too much into what Shelsley is saying
but
here.
But she's not mentioning the border collie's
Matt
name.
Matt is spot on with his opinion. And not naming your border collie is a bit weird.
Yes, see, this is very strange, this one.
Yes, but I appreciate it all the same, Shelsley. Hunky J. It could be either. Let's say it's Hunky J. Says, best in the planet, 5 stars. I would give it more stars if available. Thousands wouldn't do it justice. Mm. My favourite confession to date was the pepperoni pizza takeaway while you were on the dark side. I don't even remember that. So obviously have been following for years. Love the TV show. Wish it was still going. Matt is great, thanks. But Simon undoubtedly is the Archbishop of the show.
Wow, they prefer you to Matt.
Ooh, well, amazing. This goes
assuming the Archbishop is a head of great. But anyway, Susie and Holly just add that sense of morality that Matt doesn't have.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
That is true. Wow. Always catch the podcast in the truck the next week. What? A mug would be great in the truck. Oh, right, Hunky J drives a truck. A mug would be great in the truck to drink out of while on a break, listening to the show or the podcast. Why isn't there a podcast for the drama of the day? That would be just fabulous, as I don't always get to hear it.
Why?
Many thanks.
All that.
What happened at the end there?
Well, there was a bit of a weird sentence there from Hunky J. Pulled it back.
It's Nunky J.
Could be a woman. That's true, Ollie.
Could be a woman. That's not what I said.
Oh, yeah. All of them pulled it back. Well done, Hunky J.
If anyone is considering you for an audiobook, I suggest they might be reconsidering their options.
5 stars. Well done.
Anyway, Susie, with a breath of refreshment there, I think, what have you got from the notice board?
I have an email from Joe, who says, Dear the Fantastic Four, Susie Storm, Holly Storm, Matt Grimm and Simon Richards.
Hang on, what?
What?
Simon Richards?
What's the storm?
How come you're... The storm?
Storm.
That's kind of sexy.
Susie Storm.
Because a storm is like a cool thing to be. Matt is Grimm, so that makes you like a Dickensian character.
Yes, it is.
And I'm just Simon Richards. Like I'm in accounts.
They were the Fantastic Four characters, weren't they?
Are they? What's the Fantastic Four?
Simon Richards was in the Fantastic Four.
Susan Storm was the woman Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
There was Johnny Storm.
Johnny Storm. So they were related?
Ben Grimm.
So was it brother and sister Franklin in the Fantastic Four?
Franklin Richards. But why?
Franklin Richards.
I don't want to be called Simon Richards.
They need to rethink these names.
Wait, Franklin Richards.
I like Susie Storm.
Sounds like a geography.
Yeah, it was fine for you. Fine for all of you. Yeah. I'm the one that's just left with an accountant's name. Yes. No disrespect to accountants.
For all the love.
Anyway, what else?
Anyway.
Beyond that.
Yep.
At the meagre age of 26, I feel I may be among your younger listeners.
Rude.
I was introduced... Okay, you just don't like the name Simon Richards and now you've taken offence. Listen to the rest of the email.
I was introduced to confessions at 16 by my mother, just after I'd finished my GCSEs, and given that the first confession I heard was from an exam invigilator about the games they like to play during exam time,
that was a good
it's
one.
Fair to say I was hooked. These days, I have taken to listen to the podcast bi-weekly. This provides me with two new podcasts at a time on each listen. I would like to ask if you remember a confession from the past, one of my personal favourites. It was a love triangle confession where Katie confessed to learning that her two best friends, one boy and one girl, were interested in each other and that she deliberately took steps to keep them from getting together because she also had the hots for the male best friend. What I loved most about this one was that Bobby Pryor's verdict at the time included the line, "You've been second choice for 22 years."
Very good.
Katie later got back in touch and said she would never listen to the travel again in the same way. Finally, I would like to be a little bit cheeky and ask for a little bit of tact from the cupboard. Not to suck up to Holly here, but I feel she has been an incredible new addition to the team from the old place.
From the old place? All right, go on.
Whose voice I find incredibly easy to listen to.
Thanks, Joe.
I would deeply appreciate it if even a little bit of acknowledgement came my way in the way of a mug, postcard, or something else entirely. I wish you all the best and keep on keeping on. Joe, from an undisclosed area in the West Midlands. Which we may need to find out where it is if we send you a mug.
Guess is it's Sutton Coldfield, because that sounds like a Sutton Coldfield kind of email to me.
What, and you wouldn't want to admit that you live in Sutton Coldfield?
Oh, no, it's a lovely place, really. But I think Joseph's Sutton Coldfield. I don't know, but I'm just guessing. I also remember the invigilator confession was memorable because it was two invigilators in an exam, and the game that they played was, okay, you go and stand by the person taking an exam who you think will be the first to go to prison.
Yeah.
And then they would walk up and down the lines and then stop behind this particular person. You go and stand behind the person who you think is going to get pregnant first. Yeah. And they'd walk up. Anyway, so it was just
And it turned out loads of people do that. Loads of invigilators. Yeah. It's so dull. It's so dull doing invigilating. So
I did some invigilating, actually.
Oh, yes.
Did you play any of these games?
I didn't, but I did kind of witness it, though, actually. No, I didn't know what they were talking about. They were talking and then they would walk up and then they would stand by someone. I feel like it looked suspicious to me, so...
Do you see anything going on? Managed to catch anyone cheating, Holly, when you were doing your invigilating?
No, it was really quite boring. It's actually a really quite boring gig. Mm. Someone puts their hand up and you're like, yes! And then you go over there, it's just like, oh, can I have a pen or something? Oh, boring.
What were you hoping for?
I don't know, like... Even if they're just like, oh, you know.
I'm having a migraine. Please, can you go and get me something from the pharmacy?
Yes.
Yeah,
can
then you'd leave.
With question four?
Yeah, yeah. Can you help me
what
question
are the main
four?
Themes in the Canterbury Tales? I've forgotten. That kind of thing.
Anyway, very bizarre. Does Joe from Sutton Coldfield get some tat?
Yeah.
Of course he does.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah,
Susie, it's not down to you. As you know, it's down to Holly.
Yes. Yeah, I've been away, so there's loads of stuff in the tat cupboard right now.
I would say... You can tell from the email of how nice he is to Holly that he's going to get some tap.
Yeah, no, he was very, very nice, and it's nice. We've got nice young listeners. That's nice. That's cool.
Yeah.
And yeah, we'll send you a mug. I'm hoping it won't get smashed on the way. We'll see how that goes.
Had a few of those recently.
Yeah, we have had a couple of those. So yeah, we've got to really wrap it in bubble wrap. When I say
I don't think it's our fault. I think it's the fault of a secret person who realises how great our listeners are and how great our mugs are, and they stamp up and down on
sabotage.
Them.
Sabotage.
Yes, yeah. I think it's sabotage.
I think that could happen. Mm. So you've got to be very careful when you do receive it, but we will send a mug to you.
Wherever you are in Sutton Coldfield.
Yep.
If you have anything for us, you can set, like for the parish notice board, you might get some tat, you never know. If you're nice to Holly, that's the key.
Yes, that's the way it works.
Confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. A couple of mentions now to Matt Cherry, Phil G. Morgan, Pam and Polly, Janine Moore, Ed Howard, 74, either born then or he is 74, don't know. Neil Ogden, they were amongst people who got in touch with the secret code phrase from 2 weeks ago, which was, of course, fit my carpet. I can't remember why.
Yes.
Matt will now have a new secret code phrase, which he will reveal at the end of this podcast in a dramatic way.
Yes.
Now we descend into the grubby part of the pod, the not-for-broadcast section, the Mark Knopfler section, as it's sometimes referred to. Kicking things off is very distasteful this week, very distasteful.
Oh, really? That's good. I like these. Go on.
Steve. Now, I know we've had some confessions about Cluedo that have made the cut, but this one is pushing it a bit too much, I think. You did the honourable thing all night, turning her down, but then you went and played Cluedo with your best mates, now ex, the very next day. Impeccable timing for you, less so for her. Anyway, the details were a little bit too vivid for Tea Time Radio. You can play Cluedo in caravans, maybe, you know, it's all about context.
So she wasn't his girlfriend at the time? She was his ex?
I'm can't go into details.
Oh, right. Okay.
I think it was just a little bit too soon.
Oh, right. After they'd broken up. Well. Mm.
Yeah. Anyway, so Steve, shame.
Yeah. The way love works, though, isn't it?
Is it? Yes. I think
was it love?
Maybe it was.
Think so. I think it was, hey, hey.
I think it was, hey, hey.
Hey, hey. Yeah.
Yep. Indeed. That's all Eric Morecambe would call it.
Yeah, it would, yeah.
And Sophie, you were at a works night out and got a little bit overexcited with the free bar, and you thought you were absolutely fine for the last tube home, but as soon as it started to move, you lost the argument with your stomach.
Ooh.
In a fairly spectacular style. You then spent the rest of your journey trying to behave normally whilst holding a Burger King bag of regret.
Ooh.
Before, into the Burger King.
Yeah.
Before quietly leaving it behind when you got off for someone else to deal with.
No,
that's not good.
It's unlikely that...
Mind you, she did get it all in the bag, didn't she? So that's okay.
Well, I don't know.
No, it's not. I've been on a tube when someone threw up into a bag. It's really not fun.
Leaks.
It's so, really gross.
But also, they start disintegrating because it's essentially paper. Yeah. And it gets wet
take
and
it with
soggy.
You. Take it with you. Put it in the bin. That's fine.
When I say to you about how much I hate public transport, this is the reason why.
Well, that's because you're getting on tubes with people who throw up into Burger King bags.
How is this my fault?
Well, I can't help but think maybe...
You should try the Elizabeth line. They don't do
that. Yeah, probably on the Elizabeth line, it probably is better.
Everyone behaves better there. Mm-hmm. Anyway, back to the confessions that made the cut and with no vom guaranteed. It's a classic sibling confession. Here we go from Rebecca. Step by step and heart to heart.
Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation.
Out here, if you're doing nothing, you're doing everything right. Though on a cruise with Norwegian, even if you're doing nothing, you're still basking in the warm sun, enjoying the peaceful ocean waves, you're breathing. Don't forget about breathing. Definitely need to be breathing. So you get to do nothing or everything, but you still need to be breathing. It's like really important.
Experience the difference with cruises to Alaska, the Caribbean, and Europe. Norwegian Cruise Line. It's different out here. Visit ncl.com, call your travel advisor, or 1-888-NCL-CRUISE. Norwegian Cruise Line ships registry the Bahamas and USA.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
So today's confession comes from Rebecca, a tired Chelmsford mother, is how she signs. Father Simon and the incredible confessions team, I'm sitting here drinking from my Simon Mayo mug, which was sent to me from the cupboard of Tat, which was an act of kindness from Holly that has made me feel as though I need to share a confession that has been with me for nearly 30 years. So I think that... Rebecca is a podcast.
Yes, Mr. yes, you're
right. Confessions podcast now number one in almost all territories.
All the charts.
Around.
All of them.
I think that's right. Yeah. I think Susie told me to say that.
Yes, that's true.
Not sure.
My childhood was filled with love, but I do think that money was rather tight at times, as my mum worked as a nurse and my dad worked as a cleaner. I am one of three and I am the middle child. The incident happened when I was five and my younger brother was two.
Uh-huh.
My parents had saved for a year and bought a VHS player.
Oh, yes.
So for Holly, this VHS was a video home system, which is what VHS stood for. It played video cassettes, big clunky things that recorded video from the television.
From the telly.
That's right. Or contained pre-recorded films and TV shows.
Wasn't this amazing?
Amazing technology. Our parents bought The Little Mermaid video for me, and a Thomas the Tank Engine video for my brother. So me and my brother Rob both loved our new VHS player, and we would watch those films for hours. One minute it would be the adventures of Ariel, the young mermaid with best friends Flounder and dim-witted seagull Scuttle. The next will be Thomas, the tank engine, James, the red engine, Duck, the diesel engine.
Duck, the diesel, of course.
And Henry, the green engine, the fat controller.
I think
that was him. Yeah. Magical days narrated, of course, by Ringo Starr, who hopefully is going to be on the show very shortly.
Oh, talking about Thomas the Tank.
No,
brilliant.
No, I don't think he's
going to be talking about. Oh, is he not? No, right.
He's talking about his new.
That's a shame.
One day when my dad was at work and my mum was busy getting breakfast ready for us, me and my brother were playing races with some Hot Wheels cars around the living room. So for Holly, again, these were very cool, super fast toy cars.
Deep dive into the 80s, isn't it?
With big tyres, flame stickers and superchargers to make them go even faster. I had a custom VW and my brother had a Mustang. There were others, but they were definitely the best. I then saw the VHS player and I thought, I wonder if that would make a good garage for my car.
Oh.
So I went, as many, many children have done. Yeah. So I went over to the VHS player, pushed back the tape cover, and would you believe it, it fitted perfectly. So I put my car inside. It made a very pleasing whirring and clicking sound. My brother Rob copied everything I did, so he did the same. Repeatedly, you would be amazed how many cars you could fit into our new garage.
Okay.
21 at least.
Right.
We were then called for breakfast and forgot all about the new car garage that we created. And that was until my dad got home. He tried to put the Thomas video into the VHS player, but instead found an array of cars and even a bus rattling around in there. I don't know if you've ever tried to remove cars and buses from a VHS player, but it takes a lot of shaking. Anyway, eventually the bus and the others came out and my dad tried to play the video, but it was making a very loud noise and it kept stopping. So I remember my dad saying to my mum, I know it was Rob, the two-year-old, but he's just a baby and he's exploring. The VHS was never the same after being used as a garage, and it took my parents a long time to buy a new one. To this day, whenever my parents talk about the day that the new VHS player was broken, they always say that Rob was to blame.
Yes.
I just have never been brave enough to say it was me who started it and that Rob would never have added cars into it if I hadn't began the whole process. So I seek forgiveness from my brother, who as a little brother often get blamed for things that I did. I also seek forgiveness from my parents, who've always worked so hard to give me and my brother a wonderful life, and I'm sorry for damaging one of the few luxuries they had. I do wonder, though, if the video companies are to blame, really. That flappy bit in the video player is essentially an invitation to put your toys in.
It is, isn't it?
It might as well have said, insert your favourite toys here, although they won't be coming out. So kiss goodbye to your Hot Wheels, sunshine. Also, installed at child height.
Yes.
That's so wrong.
This
is not my fault, and I hope you can find it in your hearts to forgive me. I'm now mum of a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old, so I appreciate that any small luxury I have as a parent is very, very precious. Well, I think the video player flap had a lot of toys inserted to it and, like, honey sandwiches and things like that over the years.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say, Sister Suze?
Yeah, I think Rebecca's right there. It is quite inviting for a child. And I do understand, what happens. And I'm quite glad there isn't a VHS around now, because I'm sure my toddler would have done the same thing.
Exactly.
But I am a younger sibling and I am going to side with the younger brother and say she shouldn't have let him take the blame. She should have owned up. Maybe not when she was a kid, but as an adult, she probably should have told her parents sooner. So I'm not going to forgive.
Also, she was the middle one of three. So where was the elder sibling?
Probably being responsible. Probably.
Do you think?
Yeah, that's what they normally
are. Matthew would.
Elder siblings.
Is that right? Is that what you find?
Yeah, that's what I find.
Yeah,
definitely agree. That was a big design flaw of the VHS, is that tempting little slot, put stuff in there. When we got one, my sister insisted that we were going to watch Grease and the Sound of Music back to back all summer. What a nightmare. I'd far rather have stuck a bunch of trees or buses in there than have to watch that build.
Trees?
Anyway,
stick a tree in a video player.
So maybe in a way it was good that she didn't have to watch Little Mermaid, which also would not be on my top 10. So for all those reasons, I'm going to forgive. I mean, what are younger siblings for if you're not going to blame them for things? That's my point
of view, right?
Frankly.
Is
that right? Saint or sinner? Find them all on Simon Mayo's Confessions podcast.
Putting a tree in a VHS.
Yeah, imagine. Well, it wouldn't work then, would it? If you put a tree in there. I'm no scientist, but I'm pretty sure that's right. You wouldn't be able to put a T into a tree or a T into a VHS and still have it operate.
Anyway, Grease and the Sound of Music and The Little Mermaid, that's a good night in, then.
No,
yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I love that.
What's wrong with those?
Let me list the ways that that's
high on a
no
hill
good.
With a lonely goat turd.
So you know it.
Yes,
I know it because it's drummed into me because I had to watch it all summer.
But Sound of Music is good. There are a lot of hits in Sound of Music.
There's the Do Re Mi.
Do Re Mi, My Favourite Things, Edelweiss.
Climb Every Mountain.
Going to bed. What's
I am 16
one?
Going on 17.
So I have confidence.
Oh, yeah. I'm lacking in confidence.
No, I have confidence.
I have confidence.
That's not one of my faves, though.
Sunshine.
Sunshine on a Rainy Day. All of those.
Do you like the So Long Farewell
one? Do you think we could have Sound of Music as an album of the week?
Yeah,
I'd love that.
That was a big album.
It was.
It was in the charts for a very long time.
I still think it'll be a no. lots of you had similar experiences to Rebecca and offer forgiveness on the people's verdict, apart from this one.
And Will, stuck in traffic, says not forgiven because Duck was not a diesel engine. Get it right. Thomas the Tank should be taken seriously.
Now, we've double-checked and Montague, affectionately known as Duck, because he supposedly waddles like a duck, is a green Great Western Pannier tank engine. There is a diesel engine who is simply called Diesel, and right, he's got black paint over him. Yep. So there is a diesel and there is Duck, but Duck is not diesel.
No. No, so Duck is a...
Never twain shall meet.
Shall meet, quite right. Yes, well done.
What is a Pannier tank engine?
Don't ask. It's Duck is like.
They have the sides, okay. Don't they? So, yeah.
they have the sides.
Anyway, there's lots of correspondence coming in about panniers. Is it like a saddle?
Yeah, that's what they have, isn't it? Panniers.
You have them on bikes.
You just keep repeating the same thing.
Well, no, they do, on the sides.
And there again.
Yeah. Anyway, there it is.
Anyway, enough Thomas chat. Still to come, a lot of time to fill in Mr. Wilkins' school dilemma. We don't need no education. But first, it's Andy's confession. Smoke gets in your eyes.
Confess all. Simon Mayer's Confessions podcast.
All right, okay, so today's confession comes from Andy. Obviously, there's a lot of bad behaviour in this particular story.
Good.
Don't copy anything that Andy does.
Danger. Okay.
Dear Confessions team, after around 35 years, I feel it's time to share a burden of guilt from many moons ago. In fact, 35 years. It was that far back in time you could smoke in pubs, and a pint of the finest was about a pound. I was part of a particularly fun bunch from Nottinghamshire and South Yorkshire who were part of the Young Farmers Movement.
Here we go.
Known at the time for being a little raucous.
A little.
Well, let's say spirited in behaviour. I did a couple of Young Farmers events in my time.
Yes, you have.
One of them lasted 10 minutes.
Yeah.
A small group of us would on occasion leave the Shires and head to the heady heights of tourism like the Lake District for walking, frivolity and a few sherbets. On one of these now legendary trips, we ended up in a particularly local pub for a bite to eat, play cards and spend the night having a jolly old time. Now at the time, many of us would partake in a cigarette. I now know that, of course, smoking is very, very bad for you, but I didn't know this at the time. It was all perfectly legal and above board and even socially acceptable. That's how far back we're going. However, what was not socially acceptable is that one of my mates would help themselves to a cigarette or two when I went to the toilets. This is called theft, Father Simon. Mm. And this happened a few times and I started to get a little bit annoyed. So I hatched a plan to smoke out the culprit. And I found these exploding cigarette bangers in a joke shop and experimented with a couple of those. And they were, to be honest, they were rather rubbish and just a bit of a fizzle, which wasn't going to help anybody. But being a young farmer and probably much more resourceful than your average person, I wanted more bang for my buck. So I purchased a box of party poppers and remove the charge and cut off the detonating string and carefully, as I said, don't try any of this.
The detonator.
And carefully planted a number of these into some cigarettes.
Oh, what?
Oh, and returned them to the packet, marking the top of the filter so I knew which ones were modified.
Okay.
I was all prepared. The trap had been set to ensnare the light-fingered ciggy thief. So on our next trip, I was ready. I left my entrapment smokes on the bar. I went to the loo, making sure everyone knew it would be an extended toilet visit. We don't need this kind of detail, actually, Andy. Thank you. I returned to pay for the next round of drinks and collect my ciggies off the bar. To my delight, some had been taken, including a weapons-grade party popper charge. I could barely contain my glee. We continued our evening with merriment and tomfoolery, But despite this, nothing happened. Until it did. The largest explosion I have ever heard. And a plume of smoke and tobacco covered the bar. There was a gentleman at the bar who was about 6'5", 16 stone, and looked like he could bench press cows, holding a filter, the remnants of a cigarette that looked like something out of a Roadrunner cartoon. It was sat immediately next to where I had collected the drinks from. Imagine Jack Reacher with an exploded fag in his mouth.
Okay.
Wow.
That's what we're talking. I think I was as horrified and as shocked as the man at the bar. I was the only one out of the group who knew the truth, and now said man looked very, very angry. He had eyes like Jack Nicholson in The Shining. You know what I'm saying? The rest of the pub was in hysterics. Reacher, however, picked on a random bloke and blamed him for it and tweaked his ear and flicked his nose.
Oh, a little bit more than that, yes. I thought.
I don't think Reacher in Series 3 will be doing anything gentle.
No.
To this day, Father Simon, I have not told a soul. But I do need to get forgiveness on a number of levels, obviously from the bloke whose nose was tweaked. To my mates who I possibly could have scarred or maimed, to the very angry and bemused cigarette thief who looked like he was going to pull someone limb from limb, and also, here's a final line for you, to my wife, who I've always told that I've never smoked.
Ah! Oh!
And that's
she
why...
She knows.
Yes. Do you think... Yeah. I suppose she probably does. I mean, we're calling him Andy, but obviously he's not really called Andy. So he stayed anonymous. Will he come clean? Will he say, I imagine he and his wife are listening there and he says, that was me? Or maybe he's going to blame it on someone else. Anyway, cigarettes, stupid. An exploding cigarette, also, you know, a little bit dodgy, you have to say. Sister Susie will be on a crusade.
Yeah, it's just smoking, stupid, exploding cigarettes, doing all of that. Danger, that's what I would say. Also, just take them to the toilet with you. Who's leaving them on the bar? He's lucky there was any left at all. No, Andy, not forgiven from me.
Young Matthew.
Well, I mean, I can't be the only one thinking Jack Reacher shouldn't be nicking someone else's fags. Come on, pay for your own fags. And I agree with Suze. Why don't you should put your cigarettes in your pocket when you go to the loo? Or maybe he didn't have any pockets. Maybe wearing
where's
leather
he put his
or
lighter?
Something. But do they
He's
have pockets?
Pocket.
I don't know. Anyway, so
Jack Reacher just had a vest.
Yeah, he does, doesn't he?
Yes.
But I'm sure he can handle a few exploding cigarettes. So for that reason, I'm going to forgive.
Hilarious revelations from a new generation of sinners. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Today's confession comes from Mr. Wilkins. Mr. Wilkins, thank you. Dear Father Simon, all the hardworking confessional collective, which sounds like a grovel to me. 3 years ago, I joined an agency for teaching staff. I had taken early retirement from my teaching post the year prior. I'd signed up with this agency for some part-time work to help keep me busy as retirement was proving to be a little boring. After signing up, I received a call from the agency. They offered me work. It's a work opportunity at a micro school. Now, a micro school is a very, as you might imagine, is a very small school of only 16 pupils in total.
Wow.
The reason for such a small cohort was the complex nature of the students. They were pupils who struggled with anxiety and found it too much to attend a loud, busy high school. They needed a small, calm environment, and I accepted the job, which was for one academic year only, from September through to July the following year, to cover the maternity leave of the permanent teacher that worked there. I would be manning the fort while she was away. I joined the existing staff of three. They worked with pupils each day, helping them build confidence and positive attitudes, trying to help them deal with their issues and challenges. It was a lot of work. My job was much simpler. I had the pupils in small groups of four during the day. I had to teach them maths and English and try to help them attain exam qualifications come the end of the year. It came with its challenges, but for the most part, it went well. I made positive relationships and most managed to gain qualifications when the exams came round. It was after those May exams that my confession really takes off. With 8 weeks of the academic year still left, I didn't really know what exactly I would be doing. I arrived just before 9 a.m., as I did every morning, made coffee, had a chat with my colleagues, and then the school bell rang and off we went to our respective rooms. I sat down, took a random file from my cupboard, opened it up on my desk. I then lifted my laptop, switched it on, opened a sports website, I looked at it all morning. I read the football news, a bit of gossip. You see, I had no pupils.
Oh.
Not one.
What?
With a few stops for more coffee, I made my way through the online sports news articles until lunchtime. My colleagues and I gathered for lunch. We had a chat about holidays, how the mornings had gone, you know, and we then returned to our rooms. I started getting a little bored that afternoon. Spelt wrong, by the way, English teacher. There wasn't any more sports news to read, so I did a little bit of daydreaming just to fill the time. I might have closed the file on my desk, put it away and replaced it with a different one. I gradually counted down the minutes until 3 p.m. and then it was home time. My day was done. Thank you, everyone, I said to the empty classroom. Good work. Over the next 8 weeks, this was my routine, my daily job. I'd arrive, chat with colleagues, open up a file, read the sports news. No pupils.
Okay.
No lessons.
Wow.
My colleagues all had preparation to complete, to be ready for the new intake of pupils in September. They were confident. There were confidential case files that could only be handled by themselves. I was not allowed to participate in working them. There was literally nothing for me to do. I had a class, but no pupils. Our school internet restricted the vast majority of websites. I'm sure that's a wise thing. So things like YouTube were sadly blocked. There were CCTV cameras in all the rooms of the school. This prevented me from locking the door and having a kip. It also meant that most afternoons I'd be staring at my screen, trying to look as if I was working. My eyes would be so heavy I would occasionally doze off, only to judder myself awake and prevent my head from falling into my laptop screen. On the one hand, I had been paid to sit at my desk every day and do absolutely nothing. The reality was that it was by far the most boring and challenging 8 weeks of my life, poor thing. The hours dragged so much, the days took forever. Should I have told them that I had no pupils and no work and no lesson prep? You've heard of the pub with no beer. Well, I was the teacher with no pupils. Father Simon, I need to ask forgiveness from my former colleagues. They thought I was busy in my room. They'd say, how's it going? Genuinely thinking I was getting on with my job. Because they were all busy with their work, they assumed that I was busy with mine. I'd signed up to help fill my time after retirement, only to be more bored than ever before. You would think that being paid to do nothing was a dream job. It turned out to be the longest 8 weeks of my life. If you've got to teach, my advice is to make sure there are at least some pupils who need your attention, says Mr. Wilkins. I mean, you hear of, you know, crowded classrooms and staff being exhausted because of all the extra work that they have to do. But very rarely, in fact, never before, have I heard a case of a teacher with no pupils in his class. Mr. Wilkins needs some forgiveness. I'm not sure he's going to get it. Anyway, Sister Suze.
Well, Mr. Wilkins, I, you know, you said you were so bored and so, you know, it was so challenging, but I've never heard of a teacher with no pupils. And you should have just said, you say how busy your colleagues were. Can you have just gone up to them and said, do you need me to, can I help? Do you want a hand? Because, you know, I've not got much on. You could have done that. And because you didn't and you just sat there, however long it was and however challenging it was, I don't forgive you.
I think the pupils have missed a trick because that was always the most entertaining part of school, was the few weeks in school after the exams. Yeah. What do you say, Matthew? What do you say to Mr. Wilkins?
Let's not lose sight of the fact that it's not Mr. Wilkins' fault that there were no students there. It's whoever's doing the rota. That's who should be getting the blame. Whoever's doing the rota has mucked things up.
That's the deputy head. It's always the deputy head
again. So I'm definitely going to forgive there. Probably good. I mean, he was getting bored, but unfortunately can't spell bored. So pretty good that he wasn't passing that on to the students, I would have thought as well. So all round, I think everyone wins. The students win. Mr. Wilkins wins by going on his sport website for 8 weeks. And the school wins.
Yes.
By getting a better rota. So for all those reasons, I'm going to forgive.
Confess All. Simon Mayo's Confessions Podcast.
You made me crash the vocals then.
No, I was going right up to the vocals.
That's not your job.
So smooth.
I need to then say you can send in the people's
verdict.
Need
to do the thing, don't you? Yes, yeah. But it was Cyndi Lauper there.
Okay, that's very good.
Yes, it was Cyndi Lauper.
Yeah.
True Colours, that was her.
That's right.
Yes.
You should tell
Doc. I'm actually surprised that you remember that.
Yeah, that is quite surprising. You don't remember much.
I do, yeah, no, pretty good.
No, you don't remember anything.
Yeah, pretty good.
Anyway, that's the end of the podcast. And if you've got a tale to tell or just something to send us, that would be nice. Confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Now over to Brother Matt for this week's secret code phrase, which is...
And this week, the secret code phrase is... And it's wahey. There you go. It's your thing from earlier on. The wahey.
You hadn't thought of it until
I had not. That is true.
How do you... Is that W-A-H-E-Y?
So it's a way. So W A. Yeah, you can spell it how you want. Free.
No, you can't.
W A Y.
Could be W A Y. Could be W H E Y.
Let's check in with the youth. How would the youth write that?
I would say a bit like yours, but without the hyphen. I think
W A
H E Y.
H E Y.
Two words. Could be two words. Could be one word.
Exclamation mark.
Everyone has their own way.
Okay, so Hawaii. That's the
no Wahey.
Wahey.
No, not Hawaii.
Not Hawaii the lads.
I thought you said Hawaii earlier. Oh goodness.
Hey, could we? We'll accept all of them. let's make sure all of this gets in because it's gold.
Mm-hmm. It's certainly something. If you've made it this far, you can post whatever that was, however you want to spell it, on Threads, Blue Sky, Instagram, Matt's on X. You know, just call in.
You can call in. Do call in.
No.
You can, anytime.
You can send
don't
it.
Call in.
Send it on a letter.
Drive time drama.
And send it to
we're busy.
Susie. Yeah.
Susie and
care of the pub.
Yes. Yeah.
London. Anyway, if you want to send a 5-star review, that would be a lovely thing. We'll be back next week with another fresh batch of craziness. Until then, from the pub, Sister Susie says...
Ta-ra!
From the cupboard of tat, still full and bursting of goodness. That's the cupboard as opposed to Holly.
Yeah,
Holly
says,
but also bursting with goodness. Yes. Well done.
And from the gutter, Brother Matthew.
Yes, goodbye.
Thank you for listening. Podcast closer.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. Want to confess? Simon Mayo would love to hear your story. He may even keep it to himself.
He definitely won't keep it to himself.
Send gory details, please, to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk.
Mine is a mile away and it's on airplane mode. It's mine, not mine.
Mine is on airplane.
It wasn't a second ago.
No, I just put it on airplane.
No, but you can't say, mine's on airplane also that I've just done now.
No, that's what I was saying. I pressed the button and said, mine's on airplane.
Yeah, right. Yeah, okay,
it was yours, good. Matt.
It was, right. Can anyone hear the buzzing now?
Has it stopped now?
It has stopped.
It's still going.
It stopped.
It's stopped.
When somebody put their phone on airplane.
Yeah.
No, whose fault it
don't
was.
I think so.
No one can tell.
Yeah. Oh, one take. One take.
Mystery.
Out here, if you're doing nothing, you're doing everything right. Though on a cruise with Norwegian, even if you're doing nothing, you're still basking in the warm sun, enjoying the peaceful ocean waves. You're breathing. Don't forget about breathing. Definitely need to be breathing. So you get to do nothing, or everything, but you still need to be breathing. It's like, really important.
Experience the difference with cruises to Alaska, the Caribbean, and Europe. Norwegian Cruise Line. It's different out here. Visit ncl.com, call your travel advisor, or 1-888-NCL-CRUISE. Norwegian Cruise Line ships registry the Bahamas and USA.